Out of curiosity, how many of us are New Year's resolution people? How many of us like to make New Year's resolutions? We like to set a goal. We like to set a challenge. Good, good. All right. For those of you that are not, don't worry. That's okay too. I just wanted to see kind of, you know, where we're at. For me, I'm not a New Year's resolution person, but I am a person that loves to use significant or, you know, use special holidays and special markers, such as a new year, as a time to reflect, as a time to meditate, to pray, to thank God, and to plan ahead, you know. And I think that's ultimately kind of what New Year's resolutions come down to, right? We spend time thinking about where we've been, what we've done, and where we want to go. And so for this first month of the new year, our new series is going to be called Speak, Lord, We Are Listening. And the emphasis is going to be that I want you to have this month is really spend time with God, listening to God. God, what do you want from me today? What do you want from me this month? And what do you want from me this year? And there's, you know, there's some common things that God's going to want from you all the time. You know, he wants faithfulness. He wants obedience. We know this. But what is he asking for specifically this year? In what area is he trying to grow you? In what area is he trying to make you more Christ-like? And so today's sermon is going to look quite a bit different than normal. We will not have any principles today. I'm going to take us through this text of 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, just verse by verse, because I want to really take a time to reflect and pray and thank God for what we have going on here. And then I have some proposals for you that I want you to spend this month thinking about. For those of you that have been here a while, you know that our church-wide annual business meeting falls on the last Sunday of January. And so there's a prep for all that. There's business stuff we got to take care of, money stuff, and that's all good. And I really love what God does here through that. But I really want to set the tone this year with, okay, so what's our spiritual goals? Where is God taking us? And I can tell you first and foremost, you know, I spent the majority of December sick, which I don't normally get sick like that. And one of the advantages of being sick is when you're laid out and you're awake and you can't sleep, is that for me, it gives me a lot of time with God. And it just gives me time to listen, right? To just listen, what is he saying? Because I'm all talked out and I can't even talk. And so God had put something on my heart and on our leaders' hearts back in 2021. And we thought that when we started 2022, the main emphasis would be prayer. And we had rolled out a whole, you know, there was a lot of plans and all these things. Didn't work out that way, which is fine because God is in control. But God has really reminded me of that this month, that we got to get back to prayer. We got to be truly a praying church and everything that that means. And so there's going to be discipleship in this area. What is prayer? What does it mean to pray? What does it look like to be, you know, to have effective prayer and all those kinds of things? And we're not going to get systematic. We're not going to get dogmatic, but we want to see the power of God unleashed even more than we have already. You know, as I was thinking about, you know, what kind of church are we? What has God given us? And this was one of the first conversations that I had with the church when I was hired. And the question was, what's the vision for the church? And I remember telling the church at that time, well, look, I can't just give you a vision because that would be a generic vision based on past accomplishments and past things that I've done. I need to get to know you. You need to get to know me. We need to evaluate with God what's here. And now coming into my 4.5 years, getting to know you, break bread with you, pray for you, I see it. And it's just as organic as can be, and that is that the power of community and the power of prayer for radical life change is just written all over this congregation. We have seen miracle after miracle after miracle in these 4 years just because of God's faithfulness. And me, I'm a Bible nerd. I would love to sit and teach you interpretation classes and get into deep theology and the first, second, and third tertiary, all these kinds of things. But God is reminding me that the only thing that can reach a place like Lafayette, the only thing that can reach our family members that yet don't believe, is the power of God poured out, resulting in radical life change. That's the only thing. Because it ain't going to be money, and it ain't going to be trying to supply needs in places that they don't have physical or material needs. But we all have the same spiritual need. We all have that same brokenness that needs to be ministered to. And so I just want you to know, 2023, we're really going to dig into prayer. And while this is still going to be a low pressure church, we don't pressure you to do things. We don't pressure you to show up. Our leadership is going to put a little bit more pressure now, but it's not going to be in to do things inside the walls. It's going to be to pressure you to really devote yourself to prayer, because this is going to be the game changer. This is what the church is supposed to be fueled by. And it's what's supposed to connect us to God deeper and deeper. So we're going to start today with 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. And this just really embodies where many of us are, where I want many of us to get to. And it'll just be the springboard for where we want to get to. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 1 says, "This letter is from Paul, Silas, and Timothy. We are writing to the church in Thessalonica, to you who belong to God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. May God give you grace and peace. We always thank God for all of you and pray for you constantly. As we pray to God, as we pray to our God and Father about you, we think of your faithful work, your loving deeds, and the enduring hope you have because of our Lord Jesus Christ. We know, dear brothers and sisters, that God loves you and has chosen you to be his own people. For when we brought you the good news, it was not only with words, but also with power. For the Holy Spirit gave you full assurance that what we said was true. And you know of our concern for you from the way we lived when we were with you. So you received the message with joy from the Holy Spirit, in spite of the severe suffering it brought you. In this way, you imitated both us and the Lord. As a result, you have become an example to all the believers in Greece throughout both Macedonia and Achaia. And now the word of the Lord is ringing out from you to people everywhere, even beyond Macedonia and Achaia. For wherever we go, we find people telling us about your faith in God. We don't need to tell them about it, for they keep talking about the wonderful welcome you gave us and how you turned away from idols to serve the living and true God. And they speak of how you are looking forward to the coming of God's Son from heaven, Jesus, whom God raised from the dead. He's the one who has rescued us from the terrors of the coming judgment." So a time for reflection, prayer, thanksgiving, and planning, right? So as I was thinking about this, and as I spend a lot of time in prayer for our church, for you individually, for your families, you know, I can't help but connect with what Paul, Silas, and Timothy are talking about here. When they said, "We always thank God for all of you and pray for you constantly." And you'll see later on in my proposals later on that one of the things about praying for people constantly is that it's not dependent on being asked for prayer. It's not a matter of, "Hey, pray for me because I'm going through this." We still do that. We still bear one another burdens. We still share. But it's about being so connected in life, so connected in relationship, that just as we talk, just as we walk together, we know how to pray for one another. And that's the beautiful thing of praying for you, for all of you, is that just because I know enough about you, just because we spend enough time, some of you I spent a lot of time, some of you it's been so little, and I want that to change. But it's about having people on your heart, because it's what drives the fellowship. It's what the ecclesia exists for, which is the church. So it says, "As we pray to our God and Father about you, we think of your faithful work, your loving deeds, and the enduring hope you have because of our Lord Jesus Christ." This part I'll focus on at the end of the message when I told you I have something special to do at the end. But this is a wonderful thing, to look out on so many faces and to know how much I depend and we depend on different people here in this congregation. You know, when I came here, there's a statistic in most churches that says that 10% of the people do 80% of the work. It's one of the hard realities of church that makes it so burdensome sometimes to serve. And I remember praying to God, God, this is not the kind of church we want to have. I don't want to be leading and killing myself with 10% of the people doing 90% of the work. So we're going to disciple makers. And we're going to do this, and it's going to take God's time. And you're going to see today that we already have around 27 to 30% of people doing 80% of the work. And that's not even including, and that's on a week-to-week basis. It's not including everybody else that's pitching in from time to time as they can. But as I think about where we've been and where we're going, I'm glad that I can look out upon all your faces and I can count and see and cherish your faithful work, your loving deeds, and your enduring hope, because we know each other that way. You know, one of the things is I'm not a person motivated by numbers, and you know this. I've always said it, and I always said, yes, we will grow in God's time, but not because that's my main emphasis. It's just that's the result of the gospel being spread out. But at the same time, there's a beauty in being as small as we are that will never be lost, I hope. Even if we get to max this place out at 313, I think it is, I hope we will never lose our identity as a small church, a place where you cannot come in and be unnoticed, right? That's the whole thing. I know for some people that's a good thing in churches, and that's why some people go to large churches, because you can just get in and out and do your thing. Nothing's really asked of you. That's not this place. And I pray that everybody's on board with that, and if not, that's okay too. But I'm just telling you, this is going to be our core spiritual DNA. We're going to act like family, not the kind of family that fights all the time and is in arguments all the time, tussling all the time. I'm saying the kind of family that's actually excited to see one another. The kind of family that likes to break bread together, right? The kind of family that, of course, we will disagree, but we will choose relationship over being right, where we will choose love, grace, and mercy more than getting our own way. And so, as we do those things, that's what makes verse 4 come true. We know, dear brothers and sisters, that God loves you and has chosen you to be his own people. We know the scripture that says that we shall be known as Jesus' disciples based on how we love one another. And I can say proudly that I'm proud of us that this is a marker of who we are. That based, you know, when guests visit, when other people come in, you know, when I'm away and we bring in guest preachers, I love to hear what they tell me about you guys. Your people are so welcoming. They're so loving. They're so encouraging. And when they tell me that, the great part about it is I know it's not a facade. I know we're not just doing it to get a good report. I know that this is who we are. And that's a beautiful thing. And this is why, you know, we're God's chosen people, chosen to do his will here, in ourselves, in our homes, in our neighborhoods, in Lafayette, in the workplace, all that stuff. Verse 5 says, for when we brought you the good news, it was not only with words, but also with power, for the Holy Spirit gave you full assurance that what we said was true. And, you know, I don't want to single people out. I'm going to do it, but I don't want to do it because I don't want anybody to feel left out, right? But when I think about, you know, When the truth comes and it comes with Holy Spirit power, it's undeniable. And not only does it lead to radical change in our own life, but it leads into the radical change and surrender for those we love. And just two people I could think about, you know, I think about Adis and I think about Yana, right? And how, you know, their own walk, their own faith, they've been so transformed and so changed that their spouses have tasted the reality of what Christianity is. Their spouses now want Christ themselves. Their spouses have bowed down the knee and believed in their heart and confessed with their mouth that Jesus is Lord, because the power of God is behind their testimony. We remember Val and Frank and how that works. This is what Christianity is all about. We're not just full of wind. We're not just full of intellectual knowledge. We're full of God's power that is undeniable. And I know that some of us here, we're not experiencing that power all the time or nearly enough. And the good news is it's there for you. It's there for you, but it's going to demand something more from you. We can't keep staying away at arm's length and receive this power. It's going to ask you to be all in. It's going to ask you to commit. It's going to ask you to put yourself in uncomfortable situations where, yes, you can get hurt, right? That's the big fear. We don't want people to know us that way, because what are they going to do with that information? What if they judge me? What if they criticize me? What if they reject me? And it's true. All those things are possible. But while we live in fear of those things, we keep people at arm's distance, and we prevent God from doing his greatest work too. So you're going to have to take the risk. You're going to have to choose to take the risk. Is it worth it? Is it worth it to become transparent and vulnerable for the sake of what God can do with you, for you, and through you? Are you ready for the power that he offers? And you know of our concern for you from the way we lived when we were with you. I think about all the ways that some of our people serve. You know, I think about Carla, I think about Brenda, I think about Pastor Stephan, and the way that their kindness, their hospitality, and their concern just oozes off of them. People love to be around them because there's a place of peace and a place of comfort there. I remember the group that we took to Cynthia's parents' memorial and how Cynthia was breaking down in tears because we traveled all these miles, all this way, just to be there for her, to support the family. These are the kinds of things that exemplify what the Christian faith is all about. I think about my brother Martino in verse 6. So you received the message with joy from the Holy Spirit in spite of the severe suffering it brought you. A man who has seen many things in his life, veteran that has served this country faithfully, and when you serve in war, you see the worst that mankind can offer. And of course, through the pain and through the suffering, it led him on a different path than God. It led him to become a Buddhist. And now through his terminal disease, and when he has nothing to lose, no reason to lie, he has come to place his faith back in the God of the Bible. But it came at a cost. It came with a cost of terminal disease bringing him here, right? Knowing, you know, seeing the change in his wife. And this is the truth for many of us. Many of us are sick and diseased and have loved ones that are dying or have just died. And there's a lot of pain and suffering and brokenness in it, but God is up to good in it. And that's the other beautiful part about being a part of a spiritual family that truly knows one another and supports one another and cares for one another, is that you don't have to do it by yourself. You can let go of the reins and let God do what he does best. Verse 7, and I say this for all of you, as a result, you have become an example to all the believers. You know, it's no mystery, because I received the church's blessing to go help the church in San Lorenzo that's really in a bad, bad place, a place that we've been in as a church. And the reality is that as I try to lead them and coach them and inspire them to get beyond the things that they know, to let go of the sacred cows in the church and to let go of their preferences, that I can point to you all. I can point to this church and talk about how it's already been done. This is not a journey into the unknown. It's a journey into the very known. If you will let go, if you will surrender, if you will bow down before God, then all things become possible. Marriages can be reconciled. Families can be reconciled. Divorces can be reconciled and prevented. Healing can take place emotionally, physically, spiritually, mentally. So I am proud of us. I am proud of you. Not that we're fully arrived, not that we're all done or we're so wonderful, but I am proud of you that as a unit, we are an example to all believers. I've seen people pitch in. I've seen people do what they do with one another. And the most exciting part to me is that you're doing it without me. This was my number one prayer when I came in, was I don't want to become a leader of a church that becomes dependent on me. God, let your spirit be what leads. Let people become so connected in relationship that they are the ones doing the work together for each other, next to each other. And that's what we've been doing. And that's what makes us prime for a explosion of gospel sharing. Because you understand it's not my job. It's not my job to go out and save people. It's your job. It's our job. And we can do it together. But there's times that we got to do it by ourselves too, to be faithful to God. And so I thank each of you and all of you for that. Thank you for being an example as a unit. I know for a fact we don't always agree with each other. I know you don't always agree with me. And that doesn't matter. Because unity doesn't mean that we're clones and we all believe and think the same thing. Unity is that despite the differences, we choose to go forward together. That's unity in the spirit, right? That we can respect the differences. We wouldn't do it that way, but you know what? There's grace and there's room and there's kindness for you. Because I know that the relationship is the most important part. Being on the team is the most important part. In verse 8, and now the word of the Lord is ringing out from you to people everywhere, even beyond Macedonia and Achaia. For wherever we go, we find people telling us about your faith in God. We have been able to reach now people, and I say we, right? I have nothing to do with it. But we have reached people in Middle Eastern countries and in Europe. We know we've reached Bora Bora. We know we've reached different states in the United States. We have done this together because all we've done is be faithful to God. We have served in the way that we can serve. We have been open-handed with everything God's given us, meaning it's not ours, it's God's. And as a result, reports keep coming back about the mighty ways that God is using you and the way people's lives are being touched and changed as a result. Because it's a Holy Spirit thing. It's a Holy Spirit thing. It's not a Living Hope thing. It's not an individual thing. It's just that all we're doing is we're willing. We're saying, God, we're willing for you to use us. We're willing to have you send us. That's all it takes. So I thank you for that. Verse 9, we don't need to tell them about it, for they keep talking about the wonderful welcome you gave us and how you turned away from idols to serve the living and true God. Verse 10, and they speak of how you are looking forward to the coming of God's Son from heaven, Jesus, whom God raised from the dead. He is the one who has rescued us from the terrors of the coming judgment. There is the knowledge part of our faith. Right? And like I said, that's my thing. That's my jam right there. And we'll get there and we'll do those things. But I really want us to stop and think about how good God has been to us with the miracles, with the radical life change, with the salvation of relationships, all the answered prayers, right? One of the beautiful things about answered prayers is that it starts to affect effectiveness and belief, right? So when we don't pray, and maybe you don't ever have a time you don't pray, I'll be the only one. Sometimes when I don't pray, it's because I don't really expect God to do it. I would like for him to do it, but I don't really think he will. And that's the beauty of having the group of prayer warriors all around you. That we have enough faith for each other even when our faith is running down. Even when we've been praying for it for so long that we don't even think it's worth praying for anymore. We have a group holding us up. It's like, I forget the name of the guys. I know one is Joshua. It might be Joshua and Caleb. When Joshua and Caleb are holding up Moses' hands, right? As the Israelites are fighting in war. And God told Moses, so long as you keep your hands up, you got that staff up, you'll have victory. But what happens? Moses is tired, man. Moses is 120 years old, man. Right? How long can he keep his hands up? He needed some young people to come next to him and stand alongside him and lift his hands up for him. And that's what all of us here needs. I love the fact that we are a intergenerational church. Aside from being multi-ethnic and multicultural, we have all ages here. So for the new young believer, and I don't even mean that age-wise, you know, if you're just a spiritual baby, you have believers here with decades of experience under their belt. If you are a young person, you have people with decades of life under their belt. And for those of us that get older, I know I don't necessarily fit that category, but those of us that get older, we know so much more, but we don't have the energy to do it no more. And so passing on that information to those that have the energy and the passion and the fire is where legacy is born, where legacy is sustained. So again, I want you to spend this next month praying, speak, Lord. We are listening. Speak, Lord. I am listening. And I want you to think about these proposals here are not anything you have to agree to, but I think that they're good things to think about, meditate on, and push back if you think it's not a good thing. So proposal number one, my hope is that by the end of 2023, we will become a local church whose main power and first level of unity is derived from and through prayer. If you have not taken part in our Wednesday night prayer group, which we do on Zoom, let me tell you, you're missing out. This is not a pitch to get everybody to do Wednesday. We can do all, you know, Pastor Stephan has his Lafayette prayer group on Saturdays. My point is, if you are not getting together with fellow brothers and sisters at Living Hope Fellowship and spending time in deep, intimate connection and prayer, you are missing out. And you don't need to miss out. We're not going to force you. We're not going to coerce you. We're just telling you, you're really missing out. And I would encourage you, talk to Pastor Stephan, talk to any of the people on Wednesday nights, talk to anybody that does Saturdays, talk to those that did the gathering. You'll know. We're not making it up. We're not just doing things to do things, man. We all have very important things to do with our time. But if you're not gathering together in prayer, you're missing out. And we want that to change for you this year. Proposal number two, this year, I want us to begin to describe, and I'm not saying this is the end-all, be-all definition of prayer, but I want us to have three aspects of what makes prayer as we explain it to others, okay? So I want you to understand that prayer is quality time, it's communication, and it's investment in relationship, okay? It's not, and there's, like I said, there's all kinds of aspects of prayer. There's supplication and thanksgiving and adoration and intercession. That's all great. We're going to continue to know that and do those things. But what I'm saying is, as I'm asking us to make this shift, and I think as God's asking us to really develop your prayer life, you need to know that it's about spending quality time with God and others, communicating with God and others, and investing in relationship with God and others. This needs to be the bottom line understanding. It's not about what you're going to get out of it. It's not going to be about a feeling you get. These are the three central truths. Like I said, there's more to it. But I want you to really hone in on this. Understand why we're doing it. I said it in the sermon earlier, proposal number three. I want us to find a way to pray for one another by name and according to our situations, circumstances, and life events without first having to be asked to do so. I want you to just, as God moves you, as the Spirit leads you, man, you know, Carlo's been on my mind all day today. I'm just going to stop right now. I'm going to start praying for Carlo. I don't know what's going on. I'll contact him later because it's more important that I pray for him now than I go and ask him what's going on. And I want us to be that kind of sensitive to the Spirit. Because God will put people on your heart. He will put people in your mind. And I want us to be so connected in relationship that you're not going to be stumbling over what to pray. You've had enough conversations. You've had enough coffees together. You've broken enough bread to know what you should be praying for your brother or your sister. Proposal number four. Our discipleship focus will be dedicated to helping each of us pray more effectively, pray more expectantly, pray more often, and to constantly seek out opportunities to pray together. There are some of us here that I know, you're very effective in your prayer, you're very expectant in your prayer, and you pray a lot, but you don't pray with others. And I want that to change. That's part of the community that needs to develop more. There's people that need to pray alongside you as a part of development, and there's people that you need to pray with, because you also need people praying for you. Proposal number 5. The focus of our prayers will not be about our comfort, our preferences, or our will, but they will be for God to use us and to send us out in order to help reconcile His children back to Him. Okay? That's the thing. It's not going to be self-serving in any kind of way. It's going to be very missional and sacrificial. God, what do you want us to do? How do you want us to do it? And who do you want us to do it with? Proposal number 6. Our desire and our goal to be a praying church will be owned and exemplified by everyone who comes and stays to be a part of the Living Hope Fellowship family. This is going to be core DNA style, core spiritual DNA. It's not for everybody, I'll tell you that. So there will be people that come through these doors. There may be people here today. I hope not. But there may be people here today, or there may be people that show up in the future that are going to be like, I'm not really into prayer like that. Cool. Don't worry about it. There's plenty of other churches you can go to. But that's what we're going to do here. If you want to be a part of the body here, this is what we're going to do. And proposal number 7, I mentioned this earlier. By the end of 2023, 80% of our church will be doing 100% of the work when it comes to praying for each other, for the lost, and for the Lord to use us for His honor, for His glory, for His praise. What does that mean? Right? I told you, 27 to 30% of us are doing the work week in, week out. That means more people are going to get involved. You're going to be asked to step up to the plate. I'm going to hope that I don't have to do the asking, and our leaders don't necessarily have to do the asking. I'm going to hope that when you're saying, speak, Lord, I'm listening, that you're going to listen. Because I know this is not something I need to do. This is why we are a low-pressure church. Because I'm not trying to get up in your life like that. I ain't trying to command you. I'm not God. But I know what God is asking. Because He asks it of every single one of His daughters and sons. The question is, are you going to listen and are you going to obey? Am I making sense? So, by the end of 2023, 80% of our church will be doing 100% of the work when it comes to praying. And you know, our focus here is not inside these four walls. It's to make an impact and to have influence in the world. So again, we're not going to develop a bunch of programs that you need to come and you're handing out flyers here and you're cleaning toilets. We ain't talking about that. I'm talking about you need to be devoted to prayer and the prayer needs going on all around us and the way in which God wants to use us. This is what we're asking for. This is the commitment you're going to make or you're not going to make. And that's going to be up to you. But I'm just telling you, this is where we're going. Am I making sense? So it seems kind of quiet in here. I don't know if I don't know what's going on right now. But anyways, I hope this is not a discouraging thing or taking it like a scolding, because it's not that. I'm saying there's plenty of room for all of us. There's room for more than us. And it's time to seriously put in some work now. Okay? And we're going to be respectful of your time. The hierarchy here is always going to be God, family, and then church. And maybe you could even put work before church if you want. Don't matter to me. So it's not like we're asking to be everything and everything for you. We're just saying it's time to step up the spiritual side. We have, there's a lot of good resolutions that many of us make. Fantastic. How many of them are spiritual? How many of them are eternal? And that's what we're talking about here today. We're talking about the eternal. We're talking about things that will have a ripple effect through generations and time. And that's why I have no problem asking you for this. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for this group of our brothers and our sisters, of these church leaders who have been so sacrificial with their time, so focused with their investment in your kingdom. And truth be told, we have been the beneficiaries of it. Lord, we know that they benefit too, that you draw them near to yourself, that you reveal yourself to them in new and exciting ways, and that you do wonderful things in them, through them, and all around them. And Lord, we thank you for them, but we also understand that each of us is called by you into service. We are not all going to be clergy. We are not all going to serve in ministerial roles, but every single one of us is called by you into service. We're called on the team. We're called into the army. And Lord, we don't know what that looks like yet, but this is why we're going to spend the next month praying, speak, Lord, for we are listening. Lord, we thank you for everything you've already done here at Living Hope Fellowship. We thank you for the families that have been put back together, the marriages put back together, the salvation that has come from, this is the year that we did more baptisms than any other year. And there's already more on the horizon for next year. Lord, we thank you for all that because we know you're doing it, not us. And Lord, we know that you're inviting every single one of us to be those co-laborers because the harvest truly is plentiful, but the workers are few. Lord, help this church to continue to grow closer to you and closer to each other, that we would be missional in our perspective of life and that we would be kingdom-oriented with all of our resources, understanding that who we are and the life we have doesn't even belong to us. It belongs to you. Therefore, everything you've given us is not ours, but yours. And so it only makes sense that all of it is meant to serve your kingdom for your honor and for your glory and for your praise. Lord, while there's things to plan ahead for this next year, we want to start this year off with praise in our mouth, adoration in our hearts, because you truly are worthy. Lord, if you never did another thing for us ever again, you would still be enough. You would still be worthy. And if every tongue on earth right now stopped and turned to you and just began to praise you, we know that still would not be enough in regards to how worthy you are as the one true King, the one true Master, and the one true God. Lord, thank you for saving us. Thank you for bringing us into relationship. And thank you for giving us human brothers and sisters as role models that we can look up to. Role models not because they're perfect, because they're flawed just like we are, but role models because despite the flaws, despite the fears, despite the failures, they're all in. The commitment is all in. The surrender is all in. And that's all you really ask for. Lord, we cannot wait to see what you will do in this new year. And we thank you for taking us by the hand, being the loving Father that you are, as you walk us through the highs and through the lows, and through the amazing and through the unfortunate, but we will do it together with you. Lord, we love you and we love you and we love you. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.